how did you make three snack company back to back?
When I turned 21, I became a blackjack dealer in traditional Vegas fashion.
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, it was so much fun, but that's it. It's a job, and I didn't want to be stuck in a casino the rest of my life. So over Christmas dinner, my cousin and I were just talking about it, and we're like, well, I hate my job, you hate your job. We have money now, so let's start a business.
One of the biggest challenges for protein snacks is the taste factor. Sometimes too grainy, you lose the flavors that people go for when they are snacking. How did you fix that balance?
A lot of trial and error. Food is kind of my life. Like, that is the one thing that I'm really good at, and I'm patient with it.
But what was it like trying to market a brand new product in a category that's so challenging?
In a country that I've never lived in before.
Yeah, just out of nowhere, went to London and built this company.
This is actually one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Like, moving to London was...
Alrighty, guys. Welcome back to the Duck Pond Podcast. Today, we got Brittany from Knack Snacks, the brand that took her favorite childhood treat and re-engineered it into a high-protein, gluten-free snack that's also zero food waste and ethically sourced. Brittany's journey began with a problem that she couldn't ignore: craving something indulgent but healthy. So she turned her nostalgia into action. Knack burst into a scene at the Arnold Expo in 2022, and it was a love at first bite. People devoured it. Brittany's not only remixing sweets, she's also doing with the bold mission, which is no nasties, no compromises. Today we're diving into how she turned nostalgia into nutrition the moment she knew she was struck goal, and how Knack is challenging that snacking even means in 2025. Brittany, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Everybody missed all the stuff prior, but we both happen to have lived in the same place in Orange County for 8 years, which is amazing.
Literally walkable. Where were you before that? Vegas, right?
Vegas. So born and raised in Vegas, one of the few. And I mean, I'd say it's actually a really normal place to grow up. Like, there's a lot of people who are transient. So they'll come, they'll stay for a year, and they'll leave. So it's the people who do stay. Like, we have a really good community there, which is nice. And a pretty good, I'd say, like, arts district.
There's actually a really amazing food scene in Vegas. I think people don't understand that 60 million people pass through Vegas every single year. All the greatest chefs want to have their place in high traffic areas. So I think some of the best food I've had was in Vegas.
It is. Like, we're the best.
Underrated. Underrated. And then we went to Cali, and then we're also next to the best pizzeria, Folks.
Mm-hmm. Shout out for Folks.
Shout out Folks.
Beach. Yes.
I got email them after this and be like, hey, watch out for next episode. I did a little digging on Knack Snacks, and I was so intrigued by how you were able to come up with this idea. I'd love to learn a little bit more about what made you go into snacking and making Knack Snacks.
Ooh, so Knack Snacks is actually my third company. It's my first one in the UK, but third in total. And it's something where I just, like, my two previous companies had to do with snacking. Like, I love snacking. For the most part, I probably eat like one meal a day. Everything else is just snacks. And when I first moved here, I realized that you guys don't have Whoppers candy, which is my favorite.
Yes.
And Maltesers was like the second, like that was like the replacement for it. So, after eating a couple of bags of those, I realized that I can't eat those all the time because I actually have really low blood sugar. So I'm really sensitive to it. And there's like 18 grams of sugar in a bag. So I don't know. I guess after looking at that for a bit, I realized I could probably make it. So I did.
What was the previous two companies in the snack category?
So I'd started my first company back in 2014 with my cousin, so kept it in the family, and then started another company. Sorry, I don't know if I gave the names. I'm bad at this stuff. So Buff Bake was the first one, and we did protein cookies and protein bars and like peanut butters. And then Oh My Spice started, I want to say like 3 years into Buff Bake with the partners that had joined us and my current co-founder. And it was just like a low sodium spice company. It was something a retailer had asked us to do because one of the brands that we're currently buying from that I cannot name was just price gouging them. So we made Oh My Spice to compete with that and kind of help out our retailers. Built that, sold that within 2 years to one of the people we had owned it with. And then Buff Bake, I had exited back in 2020 when I moved here. So it was like a month before COVID hit. I had been doing it for a while, and I really enjoy like the creation of a company, and bringing like something that didn't exist to life. So that is where my passion lies.
Did you have a food background? How did you make three snack company back to back? Like, walk me through that.
Oh, honestly, I have no idea. It still amazes me. But I really had no prerequisites to do this. I went to university for cosmetology. I did that for maybe like 2 or 3 years and realized that I hated it. So when I turned 21, I became a blackjack dealer in traditional Vegas fashion.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We were just playing that last night.
No, it was honestly, it was so much fun. It was like one of the most fun jobs I've ever had, but that's it. It's a job. Like, it's not a career unless you want that to be your life. And I didn't want to be stuck in a casino for the rest of my life. So over Christmas dinner, my cousin and I were just talking about it. And we're like, well, I hate my job. You hate your job. We have money now, so let's start a business. So yeah, it was literally as simple as that. And we moved to California maybe 4 months later to start it. And it was amazing. Like, I think we even had a Sofia Vergara post, like our second year. It was...
That's gnarly.
And amazing.
Were the first few batches made in your kitchen? What was the development process like?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that company, we initially started with protein muffins, like these tiny itty-bitty buffins is what we called them because they were buff muffins. And I think... Oh God. I think each pan that we had used to make them came with like 40 little muffin slots. I think the most we had was like 50 of those. So just hand piping each muffin, it was a total nightmare. Things from that to like, we did produce our own peanut butter at one point, and I think I probably electrocuted myself like 3 or 4 times. Oh, it was great. It's, you know, having your own food business is, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. It's not for people who don't want to work hard, but it's, I think for me, the reward is when we get like the emails that someone's like, hey, like your product helped me lose like 15 stone. I don't know exactly how much that is, but I know it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. So it's like, that's all I want is just like to help people eat healthier, just a little bit easier. So.
And we're seeing a huge shift in this category where people want more nutrition, more supplements, more protein. And, you know, it seems like you guys really caught the right wave, you know, the tailwinds were right there. At what point did you switch from a kitchen manufacturing facility to I would say more professional facility?
Ooh, so I think for us, it was, I'm trying to remember when it was. Essentially when it gets to be too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Was it like a number? Was it like a year into it?
I think it was after we got, I want to say we had like a 4-pallet order from Dubai. And while like in the grand scheme of things, it's not a huge order. That's a lot when you're making it yourself. So it was just something where we realized like we wouldn't be able to keep up.
Right. So. How hard was it to find a manufacturer that can make what you're envisioning?
Ooh. Sometimes you get lucky and you find one. Sometimes it could take you a year or two. Right now we are in the process of trying to launch Nack Snacks in the U.S. So we put it on Amazon U.S. about, I want to say a year, year and a half ago. And about a year and a half ago. And it just did well instantly. Like, I can't help it. I'm an American. Products I made very much appeal to Americans. And I'm still trying to get the manufacturing going over there. And it's been on and off for about a year now. So it's exciting to like start something new, but it's also, you have to make sure that one, they can make your product. That's obviously most important. And then it's all the compliance stuff. Like, you have to make sure that these people are actually producing your food the way that it needs to be produced, so it's food safe for people. And then, you know, allergens. What kind of allergens do they have at their facility? Because we're technically a nut-free product. So trying to avoid facilities that have nuts, just so we don't have that extra contaminant, has been, like, the most difficult thing. But I think we've got a few good ones that we're talking to in Colorado right now. So.
We were just talking to Midday Squares, who were manufacturing out of their garage for, I think, a year or two. And they just had so much trouble finding the right manufacturer that they built their own facility. They spent a lot of money building their own manufacturing plant because no one else was able to make it the way that they wanted to make. And it just seems like a common issue within the food space.
It is.
Like, no one really understands how to make it the way that you want it to make.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm not going to say all food production is the same, but there are obviously, like, certain categories that you could produce multiple types of things at a facility. So, like, protein bars, protein cookies, Midday Squares, like what they're doing. It's not, I don't want to say it's not complicated, but, like, I've been in so many manufacturing facilities that I could build my own line tomorrow. I may not have all of the pieces that somebody who's been doing it for, you know, 15 years has, but generally I understand how it works, and you just need things to flow through, and you need people who care about what they're doing to run the line. And I almost think that that's probably harder to find, is people who actually want to be there that like what they're doing.
It's a challenge. I think across not just hiring, manufacturing, but in every single role, you need to have a heart, right? You need to have a hunger for it. And it's really hard to find those rare gems. In terms of building the brand from scratch, and it seems like your expertise is all across the space. You're good at product. You obviously know how to brand it right. You know how to do the marketing. But what was it like trying to market a brand new product in a category that's so challenging?
In a country that I've never lived in before.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere, I went to London and built this company.
Yeah, no, this is actually one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. Like, moving to London was like the path of least resistance. Like, one of my friends had been moving there or had been talking about it. And I got this idea in my head. I was like, oh, I can move to London. I'll hang out for a year, get to know the market, start something new. It'll be great. Yeah, I'm still learning the market. Like, people in the UK and just EU in general are very different to Americans. Cause, like, in the US, like, we'll try anything. If it's new, we're like, oh, I want it. I'm gonna try it. And nothing's wrong with that. Like, that's why the US is, like, a big hub for, like, new innovation. But in the UK, it's like they're not gonna just buy anything. Like, they want to know. They want to know the brand. They want to know that what they're buying is actually good for them and they're supporting a good cause. And they're more so buying for an occasion, where it's just like, you know, whether they're, like, on the train and they need a snack, or they're, you know, at home with their kids and they need something that's better for them than, you know, Maltesers. So it's been interesting, but I feel like we actually are finally getting some traction here, which is awesome.
Well, what would you say is the biggest difference outside of the British people and American people's desire to try new things? Did you have to change your marketing copy? Did you have to change the packaging? What was the big shift to marketing to the EU market?
The U's kill me. So favorite and color, those were fun. So everything was misspelled in the beginning. But, you know, I'd say, like, aside from, like, the simple language stuff, It's not hugely different. There's just small differences in packaging. And the kilojoules, that's something that we don't put on our packages in the US, but they do put it on here.
And are their compliances just a lot more stricter than what you see in the US? Because I know for beauty, it's a lot more stricter. I was in the beauty space for a few years. And when we are going into the EU, our formulations has to be audited. It has to go through a different regulation agency. Do you see the same thing for food?
I would say it's pretty similar. Yeah, I would say it's pretty similar. It's, I mean, from the restriction standpoint, I don't really know how much more difficult it is there because we don't put any artificial anything in our products. So we haven't had any issues with that. But yeah, I would say if you have, like, an artificial product, it's probably a lot harder because a lot of that stuff is banned here.
Oh, so. Yeah. Probably for good reasons, you know? Yeah. I've seen the differences between Syria in the UK and Syria in the US, and it's night and day differences.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Heinz, so I put ketchup on things I probably shouldn't put it on. But the ketchup in the US, the ingredient list is like this long. Here it's like this long.
Oh yeah.
It's like tomatoes. I'm like, oh great.
Yeah. When you launched in the Arno Expo back in 2022, what was it like? Was it chaos? Did you have to do a lot of work educating people on everything? And was it a profitable investment for you? Because I'm thinking for a lot of snack brands, Expos are probably like the first place that they want to start launching their new products, but you're competing against a thousand other vendors. I want to talk a little bit more about your experience there.
Yeah, so when it comes to competition, not that they don't exist, and it's important to have competitors out there because honestly, I think it validates the product, especially if you have a new product. But yeah, I don't think it's, for us, it's not about what we're doing. It's about how we're doing it. Because if you look at like our competitors and anybody that has a similar product, like our macros are better. And it's not that we're really doing anything different. We're just making it a different way. So yes, back to finding like a good manufacturer. It took me like 5 or 6 people to figure out who could make it the way we wanted it. And then for the Arnold, if I'm being honest, it was so excited. We got the booth literally right behind the Arnold statue. And because of somebody doing something illegal, Arnold did not show up. So I think they were like supposed to pay him or something, but he didn't show up and they announced it on that Saturday and everybody pretty much left. So we lost a lot of money on that show.
Oh no.
Yeah. But we did get Ronnie Coleman to take a picture with the product, which was awesome. He's super nice. He's won Mr. Olympia? I think 8 times.
It's gnarly. I mean,
yeah,
it's a legend.
Crazy story. Yeah. So it's some good stuff did come out of it, but yeah, I'm not mad about it anymore, but I was mad about it for a long time.
It's a hard bounce back, but you bounce back, you know?
And I
think there's lessons in all these in all these dips. It is unfortunate that Arnold didn't show up to the Arnold Expo. But it's a
He's
fun story.
He's supposed to be there next year though. There's supposedly. I won't be doing that show, but I will walk the floor.
One of the biggest challenges for protein snacks is the taste factor. You know, I think a lot of brands don't nail that right. It's sometimes too grainy. You lose the flavors that people go for when they are snacking. How did you fix that balance of nutrition and taste?
A lot of trial and error, I would say. Food is kind of my life. Like, that is the one thing that I'm really good at. And I'm patient with it. So it's just a lot of trial and error. And, you know, if something doesn't work, change what you're doing. Just figure it out.
Is there, like, specific things that you did for formulations where you're like, okay, I think adding this might work or taking this out might work? And anything that, you know, was obvious in hindsight, but you didn't really think about when you first got into it?
Not really.
This is like
our simplest product. I brought over 30, no, now 40 products to market, like successfully launched them into market. And this is the easiest product that I've ever launched into the market. Like, it's very simple to make, and people seem to like it the most, which is awesome. So I'd say keeping it simple has worked really well for me. Yeah, I mean, I wish I had more turmoil to give you feedback on for this.
No, that's good news to hear for you, because I know for a lot of other founders, there's so much more challenge that they had in product development. But it seems like this is your third company, so you went straight into knowing exactly what to do.
I've had so many bad experiences with it. So in my last company, I think we technically made the world's first protein sandwich cookie. And it was such a tasty product, but it was the worst thing in the world to make. These tiny, tiny little cookies were so delicate. And we made them in California. Like it was in a facility north of LA, and you know how hot it gets there. So in the middle of summer, the facility is no longer, you know, 80 degrees, 90 degrees. It's like 115 in this facility. And our cookies ended up being as big as someone's face. So through a lot of trial and error and dried ice, we figured out how to get them to behave. But yeah, it was so bad. And then the oven broke down that day.
Oh no.
It was like a 30-foot tunnel oven full of cookies. Everything got burnt. It was terrible.
That's so horrible. I've talked to other chocolate companies, and the other challenge that they had was during shipping, you know, shipping during summer months with no dry ice. That's done. The entire bar is done.
So use palm oil, which actually helps a bit because cocoa butter has a higher melting temp. Mm-hmm. So when people use a lot of palm oil, their product's going to melt first.
Good tip. And also, don't use that much palm oil.
It's bad for the world.
In terms of product expansions, are you thinking about keeping with the same shape or like experimenting with different shape, but having the same core for, you know, Maltese as a basis? What do you see product expansion go for Nack Snacks?
So we are actually working on, when does this air?
you can say something's coming, but we can't talk about it now. That's totally okay. It's coming out next week.
Okay, cool. It's fine. So we're working on a few product lines right now. I can say that one of the ones that we are working on is going to be a nut butter line. So in my last company, we had peanut butters. And to make a long story short, we had some investors that had come in that wanted us to get rid of them. Their reason was that they just didn't like peanut butter. I don't know if it was the liability of peanuts, because like everyone in the US is, you know, peanut allergy or allergic to something. But yeah, we discontinued that product line. And I literally still have people reaching out to me today asking me if we have peanut butter. Now they're asking me from the Nack Snacks standpoint, like, hey, are you guys going to launch this? Like, is it something? So yes, we are going to be launching a nut butter, a high protein nut butter. And it's still in the works, but very excited about it. And we're putting it in a new format where I don't think anybody's done it before. So
that's exciting. When is it coming? Next year?
So trying to get this out by the end of October, realistically November. But yeah, end of October is still the goal. So we're going to get as close to that as we can.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go buy a few packs right after this call, but I love nut butter. So I'm super, super excited for that.
Yeah.
My favorite. That actually kind of get into my next question, but was there a flavor that you really want to do, but you couldn't do for some reason? It was too challenging. People didn't really like it, but something that you personally really wanted to do.
Ooh. So I'm actually working on that right now. I have been, so I don't know if I'm sure you know of the brand Perfect Ted, because their matcha drinks are just so good. And their story is amazing. And very relatable for me. So it's, I'm just actually got a bag of their matcha powder because I want to try and make some Perfect Ted matcha balls. See how they go.
That's gnarly.
We have to finish that before the end of this week so I can send it to them before this comes out.
Well, let me know if there's any parts that you want us to delay for the show.
It's something that I've spoken to them a few times about it. It just, I think they're busy and I'm busy and it just, yeah, things fall to the wayside. So I'm actually making it a point to focus on doing some new flavors. So we will be, we'll have some samples of the Perfect Ted Matcha. I want to do a sweet and salty flavor. I think that would do really well. And then potentially peanut butter, because we are about to discontinue our birthday cake flavor because not enough people order it. So sorry to everyone out there that likes birthday cake.
Well, it's the 80-20 rule. I think for products, you just sometimes have to focus on the heroes.
It's just such a pain in the butt. That one's our most pain in the butt to produce. We use this edible glitter that's natural. So it's very expensive and it takes like 6 weeks to get it. And you have to order like a gigantic box of it. So it's like $3,000 worth of sprinkles. It's just like,
it's kind of a blessing in disguise that You know, you don't have to keep doing that. It's reallocating budget and resources. What's the sweetest piece of customer feedback that you've gotten since starting this company? Something that made you feel like, wow, this is so worth it to keep going.
The story I told you earlier of, it was actually, it was one of our investors' coworkers. So I didn't know him at the time, but he had reached out and he's like, yeah, your snacks helped me lose 15 stone or I think it was about 15. I don't know how much that is in pounds, but it was, I think it's a lot. So it was, it was really cool. Like that was just, and we get emails here and there where people are like, hey, like this is, you know, really helped with, weight loss, or we actually, if we have people who reach out who are like recovering from anorexia, we always try to send them product. Just cause eating habits and like healthy eating is like, it's very close to my heart, just in the sense that like, I hate saying this, but like, I'm kind of the fat one in my family. Everyone in my family is like exceptionally fit. And being that I like snacking, it's like, it was always really hard for me to find things that I like could eat that would keep me healthy growing up. So, it's just trying to help people one snack at a time.
And this is all, you know, solving a personal problem. And here's a whole new business coming out of it. Three new business coming out of it. That's amazing. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us. Where can we find you in stores in America or in the UK?
So we are currently just direct to consumer. So you can find us on our website, which is nac-snacks.com, or you can find us on amazon.com or amazon.co.uk. And what else is there? We are launching in Germany, hopefully next January. So very soon. And yeah, we'll keep everyone updated on the Instagram about the peanut butters and when things are launching. And oh, what else is there? I think that's it. Oh, you know, the one thing that I always want to ask people, and I get a little shy because putting my face on the Instagram, is we would love more like DMs with feedback on the products, like whether it's like flavors or, I don't know, content that you want to see. Like, I don't know what everyone wants to see, but we want to provide more value outside of just the snacks. So let us know how we can do that, everyone.
I found that people really like to see behind the scenes, like the stories. Yeah. I think Midday Square does a good job on their vlogs. They make every single thing that happens in a company almost like an episode in a reality TV. And it's a lot of work to produce, but I think the gist of it is that people just want to see the side that they can't really see on Instagram. You know, everything on Instagram is so polished now. People kind of want to see like the raw, unfiltered side of, you know, the challenges that you guys have, how you guys come into making a new flavor, and, you know, just generally how things are made before it. You know, they get in contact with it. So I found that to be quite helpful. If I were to go buy, and not where, I will go buy a pack after this call, which flavor should I try first?
Ooh, dark chocolate. So dark chocolate, if you like dark chocolate, we use like a rich, bitter dark chocolate. It is the best thing ever. And then the milk chocolate's just, you know, basic milk, and birthday cake's going to be our sweetest flavor. So,
well, I think I'll get all three, especially because birthday cake's going out soon. So need to catch it before it leaves.
Unless a miracle happens, yes, it's gone.
Well, Brittany, thank you again. I'll share your social link in our description for everyone to find, and hopefully I'll get this pack soon and I can send you an email and give you my feedbacks.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been awesome being here, and thanks for having us.